We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics on this Saturday morning. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in South St. Louis.
Well, actually, you're just not Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark. Should we tell them? This is actually the special Star Wars episode of Wrestling with the Basics.
Oh, so, goody!
So you're actually Jedi.
Whoa!
Matt Clark.
Oh, boy. And I still get to wear a robe.
Right.
The pastor gig, you get a robe. The Jedi gig, you get a robe, too. Oh,
that's
boy.
Right.
Perfect.
Little known, I thought, you know, we should come out, let people know that, yes, actually, all these years, we've not just been pastors, but we've also been Jedis. This is Jedi John Lekumsky. Did you say what church you're with?
Quit making things up.
Yes. Yeah, I sure did. We covered
did
that already.
Okay. You didn't mention where I'm from, though, did you?
Not yet, no.
Okay, yeah. So from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And yes, the word is strong with us.
Oh, look at that. Oh, very good. The word is strong.
Yes, yes. So, but anyway, yeah, I figured everyone else is cashing in on the whole Star Wars thing, so we might as well, too.
Might as well, too. Was that the force be with you, and then, you know, the Lutherans all respond in the theater, and also with you.
Also with you. That's exactly right. So I understand you have not yet seen the Star Wars movie. I have, so we will not spoil it for you.
Yes, please don't. Please don't. Okay. Oh, but looking forward to it. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I won't tell you that C-3PO is actually junked.
Oh, no!
Yeah, that's right. They recycle him, though.
Well, that's good. He's not a Pepsi can or something.
No, that's exactly what he is. That's the whole marketing thing. So people, you might actually get one of the Pepsi cans that was made from
C-3PO.
C-3PO.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Oh, now I've spoiled it for all our listeners, too. It's such a tragedy.
Way to go.
They throw him into the trash compactor, and they just squish him together. And that's the end of it for C-3PO.
That's the big end. So, I don't know if there's an episode 8. Maybe he'll be back. I don't know.
True.
We'll see.
He comes back as a giant Pepsi can. So anyway, Matt, what are we talking about? Christmas is over. We're done with that. We're finished with that. So what do you want to talk about now?
Well, the next logical thing to talk about, I think, is the Magi. Magi.
Oh,
which is it? Link corrected us last time, I think.
Well, how do
we
people normally say it?
Magi.
Okay. Then it's Magi.
So then.
It's long A.
So it's
all I know is that Lynn tells me it's exactly the opposite of the way I want to say it. And that's pretty much my whole life.
<That's>
Anything I want to do,
it's the opposite
is what's the right thing. So
good thing you have Lynn around.
It is, because who knows what trouble I get. But anyway, as she will explain, it's Magi from Magus. It's Magus.
Yeah, it's coming back to me now. I remember Lynn Sinistra. Yeah,
right.
That's right. Magi.
Are is better known, the wise men, for those who wonder.
Yes.
What are those guys talking about? Well, that's right. That's Jedi talk.
You're Jedi. We can say whatever
that's
we want.
Right. So,
well, speaking of dressing up and things,
yeah.
We had our live nativity.
Yeah. Tell
I just
us
wanted
about
to give
that.
You an update on that. It
Please
was
do.
Fantastic. We had blessed with this, a beautiful evening for it. The first time we had done it, didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And we did have, even though they weren't technically there at Jesus' birth, we did have the Magi,
okay.
At least on the way. So
yeah.
We didn't have them at the stable because they're on their way. But really, who stole the show was Frank the Camel.
Is he in the Bible? I don't remember Frank the Camel.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Matthew probably left him out with good reason because Frank's kind of a character, let
is
me tell
right?
you. So
this is the rental camel.
This is our rental camel.
Yeah.
Great camel, but just a little mischievous. So the Magi had their hands full.
Is that right?
The stable scene itself, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds,
beautiful.
Serene, beautiful, an angel. gorgeous, meditative. The wise men, they were on another little plot over on the other side of the sidewalk. It was okay. This mayhem. They were just
is that right?
Trying to wrangle Frank the camel.
Camel wranglers. I like that.
Yeah. And the one wise man, we've given the nickname the Camel Whisperer.
Is that
because
really?
He could actually handle
Frank.
Frank
in control. Yeah. So when you get the rental camel, they don't give you someone to wrangle them. You're on your own as far as...
You're on your own.
Is that right?
Good luck.
Boy,
you got 4 hours.
You told me that, yeah. I'm thinking. I would have thought there'd been somebody there to keep the camel under control.
Well, the one mage I had, his robe on, he had these wooden beads on it. Beautiful costume.
Yeah,
and Frank ate one of the beads.
He was eating the costume.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like that was fun, though.
So that was our magi at the live nativity. But we plan to do it again next year. Gluttons for Punishment, maybe, but just a neat community event, I think, especially in that St. Louis Hills area that's called themselves Christmas Town this time of year, with lots of different streets decorated with Christmas lights and a great reminder of what Christmas is all about. So, went well, and we'll have to be looking for that next year too, the Saturday before Christmas.
Well, good, and you have to remind us of that when we get around to doing this next year, and we'll all will you get Frank the Camel back, you think?
Well, if he did an encore performance, that would be fantastic. We'll see what we can do.
So now let's have a look. So where is it? Now I guess we need to mention the reason why we want to talk about the Epiphany, because actually the church celebrated it last Wednesday. Right? Am I correct on that? The 6th,
yes.
Isn't it 6? The end of the 12 days after Christmas, that's the Epiphany celebration, which, of course, as you said, that confuses a lot of people because in most cases, the wise men are there. That's how we picture them. You got the shepherds and you got the wise men right there next to them at the manger, but that's probably not so, right? Am I correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Most nativity scenes, you buy the set at the store and it comes with wise men and there's 3 of them. But you're exactly right. The wise men pretty clearly are not there at the birth of Jesus. And secondly, there weren't necessarily 3 of them. We have 3 gifts, of course, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the number, we don't know.
And I'm going to point out another thing. Now, like I said, the church always celebrates their arrival 12 days afterwards. That's right, on the 6th of January. But next week when we get together, we're going to point out to you that's probably not right either.
That's right.
I bet they probably weren't there until several months after the whole Christmas thing.
I think that's safe to say, at least.
Listen, next week we'll tell you why that's. I have a suspicion from something in the Bible why it probably was quite a bit longer before the wise men showed up. But anyway, enough of this. Let's talk about
cliffhanger for next week.
That's right, and see what happens to C-3PO too.
All right, now there's no time for foolishness.
Isn't there? Apparently there is.
There is for a Jedi.
Yeah. Okay. So I got it. You want me to start reading here, Matthew chapter 2?
Please do.
We'll blow away all these falsehoods, all these myths about the wise men. We're going to give you that true story about the Magi. Okay. So now we're Mythbusters and Jedi.
What an episode. This is great.
It's just loaded. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. So it's after. It was after he was born. Okay. In the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. By the way, is it Magi then, if we were reading the original language? Is that what's actually there? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So why don't we just stop there? What do you know about these wise men, Matt? What's important about them?
Well, you know, maybe what's important is what we don't know about them in some respects. Again, we don't know the number. We don't even know where they're from exactly. They're from the east. So, you know, perhaps Persia, you know, that area, or Saudi Arabia even, and now.
Could be Babylon, because Babylonians were really heavy into astronomy.
Well, that's what's great to point out, too. You know, in a lot of ways, I'm with Lynn. I think I like the name Magi more than wise men in a lot of respects. Because that really speaks to what they were. These guys weren't wise necessarily in the biblical sense of being wise. So, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? But these magi weren't necessarily God-fearers when we think of those who believe in the Lord. These were magi who practiced magic, astrology,
magic.
Those type of things.
Practice magic.
Magic.
That's what I was saying to Lynn.
Thanks for correcting me.
Magic. Go ahead. Yeah.
Magic. And So these were kind of maybe shady characters.
Well, they are in the Book of Acts. There's two references to Magi in the Book of Acts, and neither one of them are good. They're all people that do spiritualism, and they're not relying on God. In fact, isn't the one of the Magi kind of... am I getting the story right? Wasn't one of the Magi, they tried to bribe the apostles to give them the power to do healings?
And these Magi, you know, probably pretty prominent. They would perhaps be wealthy and able to give these gifts because they were likely part of a king's court. But they would advise the king, perhaps not with true wisdom, as we would think of it, but with this magic.
Horoscopes. That's what they're doing. They're studying the stars so they can tell you what your future is going to be, which, of course, is just a bunch of malarkey, but, you know.
Yeah, it's a trust in the creation rather than in the creator himself. How foolish.
Well, and see, the neat thing is about astronomy is if you study it a little bit, you find out that there's a pattern to all these things. And so you can fake people out. You can say, well, we used to do that. Remember when we used, as Jedis, we used to get captured by the the heathens there over there in Africa, and they were ready to boil us in water. Remember that episode?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And, of course, you said, no, I'm going to make the sun go black. You do it, I'll make the sun go black. And, of course, the sun went dark, but that's just because you knew there was an eclipse. Because you can study that kind of stuff. You can fake people out by doing that. So, boy, thank God you came up with that. Thank God there was an eclipse on that day. What are the odds of that?
I know it. Well, boy.
I'm sorry. Back to
we are Jedi thing. After all.
That's right. So are you telling me the Jedi thing is just all fake, too? There's nothing to it?
All right. But speaking of stars, that's really what brings them here is this star. Which is sort of interesting. So what's the deal with the star? Is this something miraculous? Is this a natural phenomenon that's occurring? What's the deal with the star? You have any opinions, insight there?
And I can't remember the technical astronomical word because I'm a Jedi. I'm not an astronomer. But where the confluence, is that what it is? Where like planets come together, there's a confluence of planets, just like there's a confluence of rivers? Is that what it is?
I don't know. We need to ask Lynn.
Okay, yeah. She'll
let us know.
But that's one theory that there was there. And actually, this happened. This happened back in November where three planets, I think,
alignment of
Venus, Saturn, and Mars, I think. Now, someone out there who knows astronomy is going to say, no, that isn't what the... But anyway, there were three planets that came together, but I wasn't all that impressed when it happened this last November. Well, but that's one theory.
It takes quite a bit to impress a Jedi.
That's true.
You've seen a lot.
Okay. So that's one theory I've heard. Like a meteor, an asteroid, again, I don't know what the difference, but there's a difference between those. One reaches the Earth, the other doesn't. Isn't that the difference between an asteroid and a meteor? We're not doing astronomy here, people. This is not your astronomy show. But anyway, something like that, a falling star, we would call it. But then again, that doesn't help you because it burns up in the atmosphere and it's over with. So I don't know. What's your theory?
Well, I think either way, whether it's this natural phenomenon or whether it's a supernatural, you know, either way, I think what's important is it's God behind this. Yeah. God is using whatever means he's using here to work in the lives of these Magi, to bring them to Jerusalem, and then finally to Bethlehem, and ultimately to the Christ child, ultimately to Jesus Christ, who they bring gifts and whom they even worship. So whatever means God uses, it's God at work. It's not just a coincidence that this is taking place, but it's the work of God.
And I do like that thought, Matt. I do like, because you're right. See, that's what we need to understand. God is God. He's in control of everything. So he can use supernatural means if he wants to use. If he wants to use natural means, he can use natural means. He's God.
Exactly.
He created the whole thing. He can do whatever he wants with it. Although I still would opt for something supernatural because my theory is these guys were up looking at the sky because that was their job. They did horoscopes. That's what they did. And they saw something that didn't fit in the star charts. Mm-hmm. And that's what caught their attention.
Yeah.
And they begin to think, whoa, what is this? Because that's not supposed to be there, whatever it is. That doesn't fit into our calculations. And that's what gets their attention and intrigues them. Yeah.
Yeah. So these Magi, led by this star, but you know, just guys you wouldn't expect, magicians, and on top of that, Gentiles too. These are Jews. They're Gentiles.
Yeah. Oh man, from the east.
From the east.
We don't know that the word Magi is Persian, by the way, which is why some people think they're Persian. But we just know they're in the east. But whatever, that they're not good people.
Yeah.
These are not the kind of people you invite over to your Christmas party.
Yeah. Even if you are a Jedi.
Okay. Well, then they're going to bring their camel with them. And you know the camel's just going to be...
It's
going
to act up. It's nothing but trouble. And they go to...
Nothing but trouble.
They seek out a guy. They come to Jerusalem. They talk to a guy who's even worse. You think the Magi are bad? This guy's even worse. King Herod, or Herod the Great, who was just, just crazy.
Yes, that's exactly what he was.
Crazy, literally. Yeah. Prideful, would kill his own family members, always worried that someone's trying to take over and take his power. And then they come to him looking for a king. So, of course, you know, Herod is worried about that. And as we see here, the rest of Jerusalem along with him.
Yeah, because when Herod's troubled, everybody's troubled.
Yeah.
Because like you said, my favorite story about Herod is that he was afraid no one was going to be sad when he died. And so his plan was to assemble all of the key Jewish leaders in the...
Hippodrome.
Hippodrome. Thank you. I knew the word for that. And have them all killed. So at least there'd be people crying when he died. Luckily, his wife was a little bit shrewder and figured that probably wasn't a good plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He was nuts.
And what's the old quote? It was better to be Herod's hog than Herod's son.
Yes, exactly.
Watch out.
Yeah. Because, he did that, didn't he?
Killed his own family members.
Afraid that they were going to take the throne away from him. So, all right. Very good. By the way, and we're emphasizing this because that's what I love about this story. This is all historical.
Yeah.
This isn't made up. This isn't like Jedi's. No, we have independent historical records confirming all of this crazy stuff. So... All right.
Well, let's press on. Sure.
Okay. So anyway, you got to say this much for Herod. As crazy as he was, at least he knew if you want answers, you go to the Bible.
Okay. Yeah.
Although what he does with the answers he finds in the Bible probably isn't what we should do when we find answers in the Bible. But at least he knows if you're looking for the Savior, the Christ, you need to search the Scriptures. So he goes to his scribes and he inquires about them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Want me to read on, or do you want to?
Let's stop there for a second. Okay. I think it's interesting that star, as miraculous as it is, and even God sent, even still, that only gets them so far.
Yeah.
They need the word of God here, as you pointed out, to get them to where the Christ child is. They're within about 5 miles. They're in Jerusalem, but Bethlehem's 5 more miles. And the word of God is what leads them there. And of course, the scriptures they look up, that's from Micah chapter 5. And it's just incredible. Again, another example of God's prophecy and his promise and fulfillment here, that this prophecy was made 700 years earlier
by
Micah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's
right.
And here it is in little Bethlehem, a place you wouldn't expect.
It'd be like having the child born in Darmstadt, people. Trust me. Now, maybe Ascension or Darmstadt. That's a pretty
classy Christmas
place
town
there,
after all.
Yeah, but not in Darmstadt. No.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and today, even today, Bethlehem is about, I think the population is about 25,000 from what I've read.
Okay.
And tourism is the main reason people come, you know, especially around this time of year.
That's right. Think of the fact, if Jesus hadn't been born in Bethlehem, nobody would be going to Bethlehem today.
No, exactly. And
he made that town, man.
Jesus has a way of doing that, doesn't he? Where you're the Son of God. But, so... In Jesus' day, too, when he's being born, there's no tourists going there.
Yeah.
And the only reason it has any claim to fame, maybe, is because that's where David, the shepherd, was from.
Yeah.
But, you know, no one's visiting Bethlehem. No one would expect little Bethlehem. And yet, this is the place that God chooses, for whatever reason, for his son to be born and come into the world.
And that's right. It's totally arbitrary, isn't it? Well, it's not exactly arbitrary, as you said, because this was the house of David. There was that prophecy, too. Even before Micah spoke this, it kind of had to have a connection with David. He was going to be the son of David. So,
And I think the other connection, too, is that what is he called here? What's the Savior called? You shall come a ruler who will...
Shepherd. Yeah.
So a ruler and a shepherd in Micah's prophecy. And it really does harken back to David, doesn't it? Wasn't it?
He
this
was
ruler,
a ruler,
this shepherd.
And he was a shepherd.
And here, the son of David, Jesus, 700 years after Micah's time, even longer since the time of David, is that shepherd ruler, the shepherd king, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep.
I want to go back and point out, because a lot of people don't understand that, that actually for a while the star disappeared. You know, because the picture we always have is they're following the star, but apparently at some point the star's not there anymore, which is what prompts them to go to Jerusalem, because again, it's the capital. If you're looking for a king, that's where you'd expect him to find him. But I've always been intrigued by that, because we all want stars. Everybody I know, we want some kind of sign to tell us where to go. And I think this is a perfect story to point out to you. Stars are okay. I'm not saying that God can't give you a sign, but I probably wouldn't rely on that, because they're not very dependable. Mm-hmm. Just when you need them, then they suddenly disappear. Okay, so anyway.
Yeah.
Want me to keep reading or anything more about this?
Sure,
passage?
I think we can go on.
Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And of course, we'll find out later why he wanted to do it secretly. And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." Why, we didn't talk about that, Matt. That's what the wise men had said when they came into town. They weren't just looking for him. They wanted to worship him, which is a profound word in the Greek, because it means to literally prostrate yourself before someone who has absolute and total control over you and your life. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
This isn't like we just want to go down to the White House and see how pretty it's decorated for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
No. We're acknowledging that whoever it is we're looking for, he has absolute control over our present and our future. He's one worth bowing down and worshiping. And so here Herod says, "Well, I'll do that too." Really,
yeah,
Herod.
Sure, Herod. Yeah. You of all people. No, you're not going to worship anyone.
So any more comment about that, about his, let me know where he's at.
Yeah. Just lying through his teeth. Yeah. You know, he has an ulterior motive to know where this new king of the Jews is at.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Because you can't have two kings, can you?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, only one king.
And which is a really good point. That sounds like a good sermon theme. You can only have one king.
There we go. So now we're set for this coming Sunday.
Oh, God. Thanks, Sean.
Well, I hadn't done my sermon yet, but thank God. Yeah, we can get that done this afternoon. Anyway, and he sent them to Bethlehem saying, I did that, didn't I? After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them. So again, the star had disappeared, but now it's back. And it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Any comments about that matter?
Well, I like how, you know, it seems as though Matthew's struggling to put this into words. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It's just this overflowing with joy that this star has stopped. They see it again. And now they see this child. But isn't that interesting? You wonder what they expected, because here they come to Bethlehem, to this house, and it's this couple that, you know, we can safely assume is pretty poor.
Yes.
We'll see that next week too.
Yeah, yeah.
And this little town of Bethlehem, not in the big city of Jerusalem. And I wonder what they thought. Is this right? Can this really be the case? Well, the star is here. That's what the prophecy said. And they seem to understand, because they're rejoicing.
But you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it points out that there must have been a point in time when they had some doubts about this whole little escapade, because they come into Jerusalem and nobody knows what they're talking about. Right, and they're looking for the king of the Jews, but no one knows what king. You know, there's one king, King Herod. What do you mean, king of the Jews? And again, the Christ child isn't there. And now, like you said, they get led off to this little podunk town of Bethlehem. Well, who would think anything? So here's my thought, Matt. We need to come back and pick this up again next week, and see what this has to say to us about times in our lives when we doubt, and what these men found that caused them to rejoice exceedingly. And you were alluding to the gifts that they were given. So we're going to have to do some more wise men stuff, and then maybe we can get on with the Anna and Simeon is the other thing Matt and I
wanted
to share
with you. Sounds good. Looking forward to next week here on Wrestling with the Basics.